Welcome to the Beast Media Podcast, episode 31. I talk about the perennial seller, the art of making and marketing work that lasts.
I don't really read books that often at all. I strangely have this massive Stephen King book collection, and I've only read a few of his books. But quite a while back when I was younger, probably when I was like 19, I had this weird fascination of collecting Stephen King books. Old, like some new ones, like the new ones that were coming out I was getting. And I was really into like going to flea markets and getting his old books. They're really easy to find because like when you go to flea markets, you know, there's usually a bunch of books there, and Stephen King's, you know, obviously massively famous, so you can find Stephen King books kind of anytime in a flea market. And I don't really know why at the time I was wanting to do it. I just know I liked the idea of Stephen King and like his collection, and like I think for me as like someone who is so like creative interested me. And I've always been big on like supporting people, because I put work out there for people to see, and like, you know, there's people who followed me and have supported me over the years, and I feel like I have a strange responsibility to support other people. If I'm interested in something, they release something. I feel like, obviously, you know, if it's reasonable, I try to, you know, support in any way I can. And so, I think that's kind of what that was about, you know, collecting those Stephen King books. I'd like to get them back out and see how many I actually have. I know it's a massive bin of just like these books. I buy like for 50 cents and all that type of stuff. And I'd like to break them out one day. I feel like it's like one of those things where when I'm an old man, I feel like that's going to be a good day to break those out and start reading them. And, maybe I'll make it a thing where I'll read a couple over winter. And I need to get better at reading. I'm definitely more of an audiobook person, but I'd like to train myself to read. That's what I really need to do, though, is like train myself, because I'm such like a thinker, and I have so much, you know, going on with the whole creative process myself, and I'm always thinking about my next thing. So when I'm reading someone else's, you know, book, I always like float away and think about my own stuff. Unless it's something that really, it's almost like a selfish thing. If it's something that I feel like it's going to help me, I can pretty much zone in on it, which leads me to The Perennial Seller by Ryan Holiday. It's strange how I actually stumbled upon Ryan Holiday. It was actually for his first book, and I didn't know he was even reading a book. I didn't even know who Ryan Holiday was. I was actually working on a photo book, and I thought, of course, every idea is like done. But I want to make a trailer for a book. And I thought that was like a cool idea. So I was like, I'm actually going to look on YouTube, you know, see if there's any other ones, see if it's been done, you know, see. Actually, I don't know what year this was. I mean, this had to be, I don't even know. I can't even guess. 2010, maybe? I don't know. Somewhere around there. So I looked it up on YouTube, you know, I just typed in like book trailer. And it was like either right at the top or towards the top. I know it has a really rad thumbnail, which of course helps on YouTube. And I was like, oh, trust me, I'm lying. What's this? Clicked on it. One of the raddest trailers ever, like of any type of trailer, especially for book, it's the best. I have only seen a few, maybe like 3 book trailers, but this is the top of the list. I can guarantee it's probably the best one. It's just really awesome. I actually recommend you check it out on YouTube. Just type in, trust me, I'm lying, like book trailer or something like that. And yeah, give it a watch. It's not even that long. I don't think it's 40 seconds. I have no idea. I actually want to watch it now after I record this podcast, because I haven't seen it in many years. But anyways, I bought that book, and I actually love that book. Ryan Holiday is a writer, obviously, but he also comes from the marketing world. So his books are about marketing, basically, and basically the creative process as well, and what you know you can do to, you know, either enhance it or think differently. And anyways, I follow him on Twitter, and strangely, I actually just heard about this book last week, I think. Yeah, like I heard about this book after the book was released, and I thought that was kind of surprising for myself. I don't know if I've just been like not paying attention or what, but anyways, I was like, oh great, you know, I was like real excited. I have his other books, and I was just, you know, maybe I'm just slacking on. I know I'm like in, you know, my lane though, so it doesn't really surprise me at the same time. Like I'm in my creative world, and you know, I think that's how I try to get things done, is, you know, without distractions, I guess. But I was super excited to see he had a new book, and it sounded great. So it's called The Perennial Seller, tag under. It's The Art of Making and Marketing Work That Lasts. And for me, that sounded perfect. I needed to check it out. So I purchased it, and it really kind of got me motivated to do something. I don't know if I'm going to pull through with it or what, but, like, you know, I guess I'll talk about a little story of my, what I'm thinking with, about that whole, you know, idea of like making work that lasts. And that is definitely a topic that's talked about, often as being an artist, is, you know, will you be remembered, or will your work be remembered? And for me, I'm definitely, I create my work to, you know, deploy it. You know, I want people to see it. Probably 98% of my work probably isn't seen. I mean, I don't know if it's that crazy of a percent, but I shoot a lot. I guess, you know, you can call me a prolific photographer. I'm always shooting. But usually I know if I'm going to post something when I shoot it, or a lot of times, like right now is a great example. I know I have like a log of stuff that I still need to get to, and then I'm still shooting. So it's like, you know, it's the classic, you know, like Winogrand or something, you know, he shot film, you know, this is decades ago. And when he died, he had countless rolls of film undeveloped in drawers in his desk, on his table, they're everywhere. And, you know, I feel like I would have for sure probably been that way, because I wouldn't have been able to afford to develop as much, but I'd still want to shoot. And that's why I don't complain about anything, like, about digital stuff ever. I think, you know, it's easy too, because that is the way it is. So it's easy, you know, if someone's like, oh, this camera came out and the specs aren't that great. You know, I shot crop sensor cameras for a long time, and really like dreamed about full frame. And, you know, I think that was kind of like my favorite moment. That was just like, right now I have like, you know, a camera that's like, I literally don't like, there's, you know, obviously they're going to have 8K TVs at one point. Freaking who knows what they're doing with technology in 10 years, you know. But that's what's crazy. It's like, you know, even when you think about, you know, how there's 4K TVs, 4K monitors, all this kind of stuff, like, majority of work is seen on a phone. And I actually don't hate that. I know that's kind of a big, you know, thing with, you know, creators, that a lot of people see their stuff on phones. I don't care about that at all. Like, if someone wants to look at my stuff on their phone, great. Because, you know, it's, I think a lot of people don't really think about how it was, how it used to be. Like, like, it's crazy. You can post, you know, you can take a photo, you can put it online, and then someone can look at it on their phone while they're sitting on the couch, sitting in the bathroom, sitting in the garage, at the beach, at the store, in their car, and freaking eating their lunch. You know how insane that is? Like, I think for me, like, working, I think for me especially, it's really easy to not care what form of, you know, what they're looking at my, you know, photos with, is that, you know, I started with film at the, you know, when film was basically dying. It was just real expensive to get a halfway decent digital camera. And, you know, yeah, my first digital camera was a 4-megapixel camera. I got at the very, very end of 2005. And I started my website right after that, January 1st, 2006. So, you know, I shot film a lot for like pretty much 2 years. I shot some port and shoot stuff when I was starting to really like it. And, you know, then I got, like, a Canon Elan. It's, like, a more proper camera. I can change lenses and that type of stuff. And, anyways, So I went through that, you know, shot film, got it developed. That was my process. Scanning the photos, you know, get them on freaking, I'm trying to remember how it really started. Like my first, I remember AOL Instant Messenger. I was talking about photos and like, I think it was just like, you can add a photo into AIM. Like it's like, I'm trying to remember like, see that moment's real cloudy. I think it's cause my age. but like, I remember posting on like, you know, cause you meet up, you know, with your, you know, you got on AOL to chat or whatever. It's so crazy to think that long ago, but like that's, you know, that's what I was doing. And so like, obviously I started off shooting film and like trying to like bring it over to the internet, and not many people were kind of doing that kind of stuff. And then MySpace started. I'm trying to remember when MySpace actually, like when I had a MySpace account. But anyways, I remember MySpace bulletins was like the huge thing for me. Like, you know, I'd make a bulletin post of like this, you know, cause I already had my, you know, I had my website in 2006. And so like, I was, you know, doing all that, you know, I was just like getting the work out there, you know, trying to do, you know, that type of thing. But what's crazy with all this with MySpace and stuff. And I think the first phone, like I remember there's a phone that could use MySpace. Like that, there was a phone that like, and that was it. You had to get the specific phone that ran MySpace. I didn't have it. I don't even know if you can see like the photos. I don't know how it even ran, but like, so it was like years go by till pretty much 2011 probably, to where, you know, it might have been a little before. I don't know. Like there's probably some phones, you know, before the iPhone maybe that ran some stuff, but it was really like, yeah, it was around that time though. So it's like so many years just trying to push stuff even on like the internet, like having the website posted on MySpace and kind of just like working like, you know, other bloggers and forums and just kind of like going around, you know, pretty much just marketing my stuff, you know. And, you know, it's such a process to try to get, even just, you know, even though the internet was such an even better thing than trying to like shoot photos and print photos and you put them in the mail or something and try to get some random person from wherever you sent your mail to maybe look at your print or like, you know, it's just, that's such a crazy way to think. And I know a lot of, you know, I know there's still people that's holding on to that. And I mean, that's all going to go away. You know, trying to make it this whole, you know, cool process to, you know, show off a photo. But that's one thing I hate, like trying to like, just, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. So I guess I'm doubling back. Let me try to think here. It was a whole process to like get maybe a photo seen here or there. You know, you couldn't post photos on certain things. So you had to link up. Then obviously they had to be at a computer or it went load on their phone for obviously years and, you know, that type of thing. So it's like, it's crazy. Like the amount of eyes that can see something when before you would have to pay a bunch of money to make, like run an advertisement somewhere or have the hopes of being in a magazine that probably would still had less eyes than what you can get on like Instagram right now. And it's when I see complaining, it's really, but yeah, I mean, obviously the younger generation doesn't know the difference. So it'd be probably easier to complain when you're younger. That's maybe this is the old guy talking. Anyways, the perennial seller, definitely pick it up because I think it's cool. You know, he's probably my age, you know, early 30s, and it's cool. Yeah, I just love people who are doing stuff, and obviously he's well known, so you might already know who he is. If not, look him up. He's got some great books. I like the idea of perennial. That's such a cool, like, cool thing. I might try to do something with that. But another thing too is, I think where I was going with originally was, you know, what I think about myself and working that work that lasts. And so, yeah, so I talked. All right. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what I said now. So, yeah. So, you know, obviously the process is so much easier to get like your work seen. And I'm definitely someone who works to get, you know, I do my work for people to see it. But I don't think of myself as like, how will someone remember me? I don't really think that's how. I think it's more so my process and my probably just my work in general. I know there's definitely people who worry about themselves. And yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good thing or a great thing if that were to, you know, become of that. But I don't think that's the way you should work, even though Perennial Seller is kind of designed that way. But I don't think it is like, it's not like a yourself. I think it's like, it's making work. And I think that's the best way. Cause I know that's kind of like the talk of like, will I be remembered? I think it's more so, will your work be remembered? If your work is remembered, then you will be remembered. And I think that's the best, you know, I think that's a good way to kind of just work in general, even working in, that could be for any aspect really. You know, like your personal life, you know, how you go about life and how you carry yourself, you know, with your friends, family, or whatever it is. I feel like if you're doing work that lasts, you know, I think that's, you know, obviously a positive thing. And I'm like definitely someone who hates negativity. And I think that's what's great about having that idea of being a perennial seller is, you know, having almost like it's like basically you are like, I think to have work that lasts is basically like having an idea ahead of time. Let's see what's going on with this mic. There we go. I guess is having an idea of what you're actually doing. I think that will actually help that, you know, even though like I am like a prolific shooter, there's obviously a style. Like I'm not just going out and just shooting. Like I think for me, if I went to the beach, I would be shooting something that's completely different than everyone that was at the beach shooting photos. That's for sure. And so I guess that's for me, like that's why I feel like it's, I already kind of have that down in my brain. I don't really have like, I'm not really dwelling on will I be remembered. I feel like I'm doing my work and I'm in my process, and you know, that will speak for itself. And, you know, as time goes on, I feel like, maybe will become more of even a thing. Cause it is, it's so crazy to me, you know, and that's what's nuts is like, when I think about social media, like thing, you know, and skateboarding, like I still get like messages about skateboarding photos. And I haven't shot like, well, obviously I still shoot skate photos when Christian comes to town. It's basically like, it's basically like a job, you know, it's basically shooting for like Instagram now, but we used to shoot for magazines back in the day. But like, that was my thing though, is I shot skate photos. If I didn't shoot photos of Christian, I wouldn't have shot a skate photo since 2009, probably 2009 or was it? Yeah, 2009. Pretty much when I was shooting photos with Eric Vicarone, when he moved, I pretty much was done. I went on tour, because I think he moved away in the fall, so skateboarding was pretty much kind of done around here because winter hit. And then the tour I went on was called the Dead of Winter Tour, and it was the end of December, I believe, or the very beginning of January of 2011, something like that. Or no, 2010. Yeah. No, yeah, it was 2010, but it was January 2010. Yeah. It was the first of the year. It was a 2-week tour, but that tour I watched, I don't know if I told the story or not, but I'll say it real fast anyways. Is I watched a documentary called The Genius of Photography right before I left on that tour. Went on that tour, didn't really shoot skate photos at all. Shot photos of kind of some different things, kind of for like the first time really, because all I was really was shooting was skate photos since, you know, I started shooting photos. But when I was on that tour, that was like, I knew I wanted to be done with skateboarding, and pretty much was. Yeah, I knew like after I seen that documentary that's how, I didn't really know. That's what's weird about living in Ohio is I still 100% feel like this, is when I watched the documentary Genius of Photography, I was like, there's other people who think like me. And like my friend Mike and I connect very well with photography. And he's pretty much, you know, been, he moved to California. I don't even know what year he moved out there. It was pretty early. So like soon after I started shooting, he moved to California and then he moved to New York, which I visit him out there and shoot with him. But like, so, you know, majority of the time of me being a photographer, I've basically kind of been by myself, you know, and I've always been alone at all of the stuff I've been doing. Obviously when I photograph people and have, like me being in my own process and doing my work is like it's a very lonely thing basically. So like, I can't talk about the process really I think that's why I love the podcast. Cause it's strange. Like that, like it's a single person podcast. So you don't really see that often, but I think I said it in a very early episode. That's like almost like a therapeutic thing, which it totally is. Like it's me kind of justifying things and thinking of things and talking about things. Cause I feel like there is an audience out there and, you know, and definitely, you know, I'm actually, astonished in a way of how many downloads this podcast has. And I just want to kind of give a shout out to everyone and say thank you, because it's cool. You know, it's, you know, like I was going to say, is like, you know, I watched that documentary. I didn't know, like, there's, you know, people that kind of thought every day and kind of like thought deeply about stuff, you know, with, you know, photography. And that, you know, I just knew instantly that I don't really want to do skateboarding anymore. I just wanted to shoot photos. That's all I wanted to do. And yeah, and that's what I did. And then I, you know, obviously with that documentary, I found so many photographers that I really enjoyed. And I learned about so much. I learned about so much of photography in 2010 that, like, it's crazy. Like, I shot for so long before the fact. And, but yeah, it was great. You know, I'm glad that documentary came into my life for sure. But yeah, so The Perennial Seller by Ryan Holiday, check it out. I have a link, you know, on my website if you're into it there, or on the Twitters, you know, or something like that. I'll have it posted somewhere. So yeah, Perennial Seller, check it out. Get hyped. And I think that's what it is. Just do your work. And I think like your work, I think that's what it is too, is like thinking about your work, because it's so easy just to do work as well. Yeah. I'll have to think about that idea too, because I just thought of that. So yeah, maybe that'll be a whole other podcast episode. Anyways, thank you very much for listening, and I will talk to you guys soon. Later.